listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want to talk to you about true identity. Can I say this morning? That in our Western culture, we have truly an identity crisis. The way our society has come down in the last decade or so, it's been a free fall. And most of what we're experiencing is because we have abandoned God's word and what the scripture has to say about our identity. And what scares me the most in and at all is that there are many, many Christians who have lost focus as to who they actually are in Christ Jesus. So I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to turn to 1 Peter this morning. I want to talk to you about your true identity. We're going to look at the second chapter and the 9th verse. Peter, writing to the church at large, says this: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." I can say a lot about each and every one of these points. "That you may proclaim the excellencies by him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Leading into this message, I'd like to say a few things. If I were to ask you this morning to recognize the people around your life, or even people in this room today, and give a word that identifies them, I would suspect that you'd name that person first and foremost. And then you might associate them with what they do for work in this life. That's a common approach. I once met a guy by the name of Larry Nelson. To some of you, he doesn't mean anything, but to me, he did, because he played the PGA Tour for many, many years. He'd won a total of 10 tournaments. It was an honor, I felt, to meet him. In 2006, he was inducted into the World of Golf Hall of Fame. He was a winner of 3 majors, by the way, in case you didn't know it. Today, they played a major in the British Isles. There is a winner. I'm not going to tell you who it was. You have to look it up and figure it out for yourself. But Larry Nelson won 3 majors. And so you would associate, in this case, Larry Nelson with his golf career. We identify people typically by what they do for a living, and or perhaps at times what they do recreationally. And often we're recognized by our relationships. Maybe you're recognized as the son or daughter of a pretty significant parent, or maybe you've got some kids and you're recognized by your kids and their accomplishments. So can I ask you this morning? By what means would you be recognized if someone were to introduce you today? Someone got up here and said, "Here is so and so," how would they introduce you? What would be said about you if they were given, if you were given an introduction? Not so much about what maybe you are associated with, such as your profession or accomplishments, but rather by whom you belong to. That is, this is Robert, and he's one of the most faithful Christians I know. Maybe it could say, be said, this is Deborah, and she's one of the most spiritual influences of my life. You see, the Bible teaches us what is the identity of those who belong to Christ. And we need to be clear on our identity. I want you to be clear on your identity this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter distinguishes between those who reject Christ and those who are followers of Christ. Can I say clearly, there are two distinct camps: those who pursue Jesus and those who do not pursue Jesus for whatever reasons. And for us in Christ this morning, there are some important characteristics. And I want to highlight those, if I may. According to verse number 9, it says there, Peter says, we are chosen, first and foremost. He goes on to say, we are a royal priesthood. That is, servants of the King of Kings, namely Jesus. Also, we are a holy nation, which means we are a set apart people. It means we are distinctly different than the masses of this world. We are a people, Scripture says, for God's own possession. Let me tell you about and how and why that's the case. It begins with the major biblical principle that we were bought with a price. And that price was paid by Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is, no longer do we dwell in a place of spiritual darkness or confusion. We've been translated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. We've been enlightened or made keenly aware of our new spiritual dimension in Christ. And through Christ, the Bible makes it very, very clear that we are the children of God. And this is a work of God in our lives. First John chapter 1 goes on and describes some of what I've been trying to share with you here this morning. It says, but to all who receive Christ, who believed in his name. Do we have any like that in this room? Okay. He gave the right to become children of God. So first and foremost, you need to know Jesus paid a price. He redeemed you. And what's more, he made you to be a child of God. In other words, you have family identity. You're connected to the family of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 15 says, we've been adopted into his family. That's good reason to get excited, church. You, the scripture says, have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba Father, and that's a very endearing term, such as to mean daddy. We've been given the right to the family of God by the one and only Son of God, namely Jesus. Can I tell you a story? I will. I want to tell you a story about a guy I recently came to know, and his name is Brian. My kids gave me this, Sharon and I, they gave us this Christmas gift. Actually, it was Renee. And it's an Ancestry DNA kit subscription. How many know what I'm talking about? You take some saliva, you take this swab, and you send it off. It tells you a little bit about your background, your DNA. Well, I pretty much knew my DNA, but it just confirmed that I'm 96% European, 3% Baltic, 3%, no, 91, and no, 94, 90, yeah, 94 European, I'll get this right, and 3% Baltic and 3% the Balkans. So that makes me 100% Slavic, okay? I'm Ukrainian. Doesn't get any clearer than that. I knew that stuff, okay? But what that led me to do is try to connect the dots of who my ancestors are. Who are my grandparents? Who are my great-grandparents? Well, we in our family, we kind of fell off a cliff. We didn't know who we're connected to. So I wasn't going to let this stump me, so I got into this hook, line, and sinker. And that's basically what it did. And I began to search every lead. And I came across this one person who is very closely connected to our family. And his name is Brian. So I, through Ancestry, tried to make a communication. I sent off an email, he did not respond. I sent off another, he did not respond. Sent off a third, he did not respond. Finally, after 2 years, I get this reply. Oh, sorry, I didn't see. I've been off Ancestry for all this time. Sorry, I didn't see your communication. Well, let me say this. That started a communication. And I come to find out that Brian is a close cousin of mine, but we can't to this very date kind of connect the dots. You see, Brian was adopted. And the DNA connection to me isn't forthright. And so the adoptive parents didn't have any information either. And so he was at his wit's end to try to find his blood relatives. He lives in Kamloops, British Columbia, which is about, 3 hours north of Vancouver. And so when Joel was playing in Vancouver here a couple weeks ago, and Sharon and I went to the game along with others, Brian said he's going to be at the game. So I never met Brian, never saw Brian, didn't know what he looked like. So I said, great, it'll be a good opportunity for us to meet. And so we left it at that. Sharon and I will go inside the stadium, and I said, you know, I better phone Brian. He's got to be here someplace. So I did. I phoned Brian, and across the stadium, he says he's in this section. I says, well, wave to me. So he started waving, and I spotted Brian. What I didn't know about Brian is that he in recent years had a disability and he could not walk. So he is waving his crutch to me, made it easier to see. So I say, Sharon, we're going over there. So we took a hike before the game. We went around the stadium, found the section, and there's Brian with his crutches. I came up to him. He grabbed a hold of me and started hugging on me. And tears start coming down his eyes. He says, he started apologizing. He says, "You're the only blood relative I know in this world." And he was overcome with joy and emotion. There was a connection. Although he was adopted, he's beginning to discover his blood family. And whereas there are a lot of adoption stories, I want you to know something, church, that when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've been adopted into the family of God by the very one who created you. And it's okay for you to have emotion. It's okay for you to be joyful in his presence. It's all right when you get to know other members of a household of faith. It's a big deal to discover your family and learn your identity. And I want you to know this morning, our spiritual adoption is described as that of being that we are adopted into the family of God. We are adopted through the work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "In love, God predestined us for adoption. That is, you have been in his sights from the day you were born," and I might add, before you were born, "to be a son or daughter through Jesus Christ." See, our identity, church, this morning is based on the Bible, and it tells us that we are identified with Christ. Jesus is responsible for this new relationship that we have with Father God. Daddy, as we read earlier in the Bible. Let me put it this way. For those who are truly born again, Jesus is not part of your life. He is your life. And there's a big difference. So many people make Jesus a part of their life. That doesn't work that way. He is our life. His DNA flows through us. His royal blood flows through us because we have been adopted into the family of God. And we should never be identified simply as believers in Christ only on a Sunday, but rather wherever we go, we carry the presence of Jesus. If we are faithful to the Word of God, to discipleship, and to growing spiritually, if we're faithful to that, it should never surprise anyone that we are one of God's kids and we're identified with Christ. So I want to say this morning, your identity or how you see yourself is critically important. And I want to give you this morning some clear points about your identity. We live in a very confused world. Don't ever let that confusion trickle into your kingdom values. So I want to give you some biblical identity this morning. The first thing that I need you to know is that you're a follower of Christ if you've received him into your life. See, that's what a disciple is. He's a follower. She's a follower of Christ. That's what I like about this series, The Chosen, because there we see Jesus selecting people like you and me, and they become followers of Jesus, not just in physical form, but in ideology as well. They embrace his mission. They embrace him. They embrace his purpose. They become disciples of Jesus. And I want you to know this morning that when we accept Christ, you need to understand you're a follower of Jesus. You are now changing the direction of your life. It's not a self-directed life, or even one who is shaping their life after some other human being. It is now Jesus who is providing you direction on this planet. So first of all, you are a follower of Christ. Secondly, you are chosen. God literally handpicked you. If you got a low esteem this morning, this should bolster it up 100%. God handpicked you. He saw you. Before you were even born, he handpicked you. You have purpose. You have belonging. God has put his sights on you. So you are chosen. Number three, Scripture says you're a royal priesthood. Simply stated, we are servants of the King. We serve Jesus. He is our primary in life. You carry yourself differently on the planet, because first, we filter our lives through the King's eyes. And what's more, you are a vital part of God's ministry here on earth. You need to discover your role. What's your place in advancing the kingdom of God? And you need to learn to be an effective team player. I need to say that again, because a lot of us in this tradition of charismatic type churches, we tend to get our directives directly from Jesus, and we forget that there are other players on the team, and we need to learn how to play team ball in such a way that we are actually taking ground for the kingdom of God. Being a team player is a big transition, and we need to learn how to apply ourselves to the team on earth. So we are, the Bible says, a royal priesthood. It says there also that we are a holy nation. I could say it this way: we're a nation within a nation. This means we are distinctively different from this world. Our values and our conduct no longer mirror the world. We reflect Christ. We reflect his character. We're a holy nation. The next thing I want to say is that we are a people of God's possession. And this is huge. When you actually understand that you are not your own, you do life differently. I've had a rule in my life. I think it's a good rule. That if I borrow a piece of equipment from someone, they're going to get it back in better condition than when they got it. That's just a rule of mine. If it's mine, I can trash it. Who cares? It's not a good idea because it's really not mine. It's God's. I'm a steward of it. We got to get that part fixed in our thinking. But I want to get back to the idea that when we borrow something, we need to return it in better condition than when we got it. Do you understand that God owns you? You're on loan to God. He bought you with a price. You do life differently than if you were the sole owner of your life. God owns you. Is this too radical for you? This is Bible. This is how we operate. This all came down when Jesus bought us with his precious blood. The price of his own blood. And the last thing I want to give you this morning is that we've been called out of darkness. We no longer dwell in spiritual darkness. The things of God have been made known to us. Our spirit has come alive to the things of God. You're now a child of God. You're no longer an orphan. You've been adopted into the family of God. You live your life with purpose. I might add God's purpose. So we have to get a well-grounded, well-rounded understanding of who we are. We place our value system on the Bible, the Word of God, and it's told us that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So now when things don't go well for you, or you have a difficult conversation with somebody, maybe you have a teaching moment with your employer or your employee, don't forget who you are. And in the midst of that circumstance, learn to proclaim the excellencies of him who has given you your new identity. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to say it again. I said it a little earlier. Because it says clearly here, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. New creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And by the way, that's a very good description of what's happened to you when you encountered Jesus. First of all, you're in Christ. That's a little different than the idea that Jesus is with me. Not that that's a bad idea, that Jesus is with you and he goes with you. But when you get the revelation that you are now in Christ, that's a game changer. If anyone is in Christ, Paul said, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. How many see your past life kind of drifting into the sunset? And it should be the case that you don't even have a clear recollection of the past, because it's just fading off the scene.
Because the Bible says
the new has come. And every single day, Jesus is unpacking new truth, new revelation, new awareness of his personhood in your life. And you're growing in that. And it's life to you. I want you to know, there isn't anything inherently wrong with being known for your skills, your talents, maybe your abilities. But this morning, I want you to make it a priority to reflect who you really are, who you're connected to relationally, and thereby recognize your true identity. You are one who follows after Jesus, the Son of the living God. We were so caught up in worship this morning, so much so that we declared, I stand in awe of you. Why? Because he so radically changed us that all we can do is stand in awe, sometimes speechless, for all that which he has done for us. Because he's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I want you all to bow your heads with me, would you please? I want to pray for you this morning. And I want to ask you this morning, would you like to renew your commitment to Jesus, to his family, to his purpose? And once more, derive your identity from him. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe that's been a little foggy for you. Maybe it hasn't been too clear. Hopefully, I've made it somewhat clear today that our identity is in Christ. And we live in a world of identity crises right now. So you need to factor in, first and foremost, who Jesus is to you. And if you want to recommit to him, just put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to cause you to stand up or do anything. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else want to recommit? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, so many people recommitting to the person of Jesus. Deriving your identity from him and him alone. I think the Holy Spirit's calling us into a place this morning. Finding out who we really are, just like the Brian story that I told you a little earlier. We're finding out who our real family is. Who Jesus is to us. And that's pretty important stuff in this day and age. Anybody else want to recommit to this one, Jesus? And make it clear in your own mind that he is your big brother. He is, as the Bible says, a friend that sticketh closer than a natural brother. He is your Savior, Lord, and King. He is the one who puts you in the family, sets you alongside Father God. You are a child of the living God. Stand with me, would you? I want to pray for each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we've been going through your word and ascertaining our identity. I'm, first of all, grateful, Lord, that your word makes it clear to us that you provided a pathway so that we don't need to go through this life wandering left, right, front, back, trying to find out where center is. When we land on you, we land on true north. And we find who is our center. And I thank you this morning that you make yourself real to us. And I want to pray today, lift these brothers and sisters up that are crying out and saying in their heart of hearts, they want to clearly, without a doubt, anchor their identity today. And I pray, Lord, that as they pray and commit to you this morning, you would reveal yourself in a very wonderful way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And in a world of mass confusion, we can live with internal peace of who we are. I want you to pray. Everybody, pray this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, you are in this room today. Today, I want to make it clear in this prayer to you, surrounded by my spiritual family, that you are my Lord and Savior, that you redeem me by your blood. You paid the price for my redemption. I want to clearly state today that I choose to follow you and represent you wherever I go. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for bringing me into the family and giving me identity. I praise you today, Lord Jesus. Amen. Put your hands together. Let's just thank Jesus today for his goodness to us. Come on. Come on. Let's be bold. Let's declare it. He is the King. He is our Savior. He brings us into life. We're going to dismiss in a moment. If some of you are desiring further prayer, we do have a prayer team that wishes to pray with you. But I do want you to leave this place clear in your thinking. So let's practice. Turn to somebody and say, I am a child of the living God. Come on. Find somebody. Somebody. Tell them you're a child of the living God. I identify with Jesus today. Okay? God bless you. Come forward if you wish for special prayer. Our team is here ready to pray with you.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.